Hello everyone, Jenna here. Happy Friday. Thank you so much for joining us. At Million Marker, we champion for people to use less plastic because plastic chemicals mimics our hormones. Not only they're bad for our health, they're also bad for the environment. Many of the plastic chemicals are not biodegradable, which make them really, really harmful for the planet. So one of the most effective ways to reduce plastic use is to be more conscious about our shopping habits. As a company that tests people's body for plastic chemicals, we know we just see plastic is so pervasive in people's lifestyle. One of the most efficient ways to be a conscious shopper to reduce your plastic use is obviously to have a more minimalist style, living lifestyle. That's why we're really, really excited today to chat with the host of the Wannabe Minimalist podcast, Deanna Yates. Deanna teaches busy family on how to declutter the mess, organize the stuff that matters, design a room that feels just right, and create a system that keeps all running smoothly so you can enjoy the life that you worked so hard to create. So it looks like she does. Hi,
Hi,
Deanna.
Dana. How are you? Can you hear me?
Yes. Nice seeing you.
Perfect. So good to see you too.
Yeah, I'm so excited for today's talk because it's very different from our other talks. It's usually around health and testing and strategy about nutrition, but today is this topic is just so awesome. So thank you.
Yay. Yeah, happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
So tell us a little bit about your background and how you ended up becoming a clutter-free coach.
Yes. So as you said, my name's Deanna Yates, and I actually run a website called Wannabe Clutter Free, and I'm also the host of a podcast, Wannabe Minimalist Podcast, which you were just on. And the funny thing is, you would think that somebody who teaches other people how to do this stuff would have classified herself as always organized as well. And honestly, that's not the case. I grew up in a typical suburban home in the 80s and 90s. My family had a lot of stuff. They still do. I am the outlier in my family. But it re wasn't really until my husband and I started a business together and we were working from home. Now, this was back in 2013, so we weren't in the forefront of working from home, but it definitely was not as common. And I remember we were sitting there and I looked around and I thought, we could be doing this from anywhere. I mean, we were in Boulder, Colorado. It was gorgeous, but we could have been anywhere. And so we made a plan to sell most of what we owned. We wanted to travel and work while we traveled. But the difference was we had a baby with us. So we set out actually just after my daughter turned one and we made it work. You know, we failed as travel bloggers. That part did not work out too well for us. And so we were then returned to the States. You know, we tried, we returned and we did what we were supposed to do. We bought the home, we started to fill it up. And then that was when that lesson of freedom from stuff really started to sink in. You know, I started to feel like things were suffocating and I couldn't keep on top of my house. And you know, we had just gotten back from this trip where we had traveled and we lived each month. We did 1 month in each country. So we'd do an Airbnb for a month. And we had one big suitcase and a couple carry-ons. And yes, we had a child. Her travel crib was in there. We didn't have a stroller. We did have a car seat. But, you know, we were able to do all of this and we had been happy. And so it was really hard for me to mix those two worlds. I just figured there had to be a middle ground because I knew we didn't want to travel forever, but living that typical lifestyle with all of our stuff, it was just so suffocating. And so that's really where I started on this path, was really just learning that American, so-called American dream of the house, you know, filled to the brim with stuff and the white picket fence and the 2.5 kids and the new car every year, every other year, and the dog in the backyard and the cat by the fireplace. You know, that wasn't a fit for us, but neither was that digital nomad lifestyle where we had nothing. So that's really kind of how I started my journey and why I started focusing on minimalism and how to help people, live this way that's a different path that maybe they hadn't considered.
Love it. So what does minimalist mean to you?
Yeah, for me, it's really more about mindset. It's more, you know, it actually has less to do with stuff than people think, right? Like, I think minimalism is about being really intentional about what you choose to let into your life. Now, that can be the stuff that you buy. It could be the stuff that you acquire. You know, people give away free stuff all the time. So it's not necessarily just what you buy, but it could also be how you spend your time, the products you use in your life, the one that you choose to put on your face and put your food in. We talked about this a lot when you were on the show. And it can also be about the relationships that you choose to nurture. We really are influenced by the people that we spend the time with. And I think there's that thing of like, you are the accumulation of the five closest people to you. And so I think we really have to think about that when we are living our lives and we're trying to live this, you know, crazy life or this wonderful life that we are excited about. You know, we want to make sure that we have the right things around us. And so that's really what minimalism is to me. It's not saying I can only have 100 things, or I have to only have one plate per person, or white walls. I mean, I have white walls, but it really is more about, just this being intentional about what we choose.
Love it. So how does minimalism like play into your role as a decluttering coach?
Oh, sure. It's mindset, 100% mindset. We get really attached to the things we have, and it's actually called the endowment effect. And I could go into it a little bit if you want, or I can just give you the link because it's a really fascinating topic. It basically is that we attach more value to things that we own, that we consider ours, versus something that might be identical to it or worth the same value, like worth the same monetarily. But we have this way, humans, it's just human nature. And if we can understand that, it makes it much easier to let things go, because you can look at things in the right light. And so I think that's been one of my biggest gifts, is helping people distinguish between themselves and their things. And so, you know, things are just tools. They're meant to be used. They don't care if we keep them or not. They really don't. They're just things. And so, you know, as you declutter, I encourage you really to look at your things in that light of like, okay, it doesn't care if it gets thrown away. It doesn't care if it lives with someone else. You know, it's just a thing that I have attached to it. And so I also look at things from a perspective of, what is the life that I want to be living? You know, what makes me excited? What jazzes me up? What gets me out of bed in the morning? And is there a way I can do more of that? Or have the things in my life that help me live that life versus, you know, maybe I'm holding on to something that really doesn't reflect the life I want to be living. And so that makes it a little bit easier to let it go.
Love it. So in your experience, how could disorganization, too much stuff, or a messy house that impact a person's mental wellness?
Yeah. So I think when our homes are messy, when there's mess outside of us, it really becomes an internal problem, because that mess, it just, like, you can't concentrate, right? So let's say like my desk. I'm sitting at my desk right now. Let's say there was a bunch of stuff on it. It's a little different than normal right now because of the setup for our video. But let's say I had note cards on it from a presentation that I'm giving in a couple weeks, and they're not quite finished. And I have a stack of bills that I need to pay because, you know, it's actually payday today. So we got to get paid today, or we got to pay the bills today. And there's just some other stuff. You know, there's maybe the plate from breakfast if I hadn't cleaned it up yet or something. Well, all of those little things that are sitting there in my visual zone, they're pulling my attention away from what I'm doing. So before we chatted, I made sure that everything was kind of cleared away so that I'm not thinking about something else when I'm sitting here chatting with you. And I try to do the same thing when I'm sitting down to work, or when I'm sitting down to play with my daughter, or when I'm making dinner, or, you know, like, I try to be very conscientious about what I'm doing, because all of these things make it much easier. If there's mess, it's harder to concentrate. Sorry, I was about to say that backwards. And there's small distractions. but they take us away from the moment. And if you think about that, now you multiply it throughout your entire day. So multiply it over all the little decisions you have to do and all the things you're doing throughout your day, and it really starts to add up. You know, society is already putting so much pressure on us to, with all this instant gratification stuff and all of this multitasking doesn't work. And, you know, social media is, you know, seriously hindering our ability for long-term concentration, right? We have our attention spans are shorter and shorter and shorter. And I even feel it. Sometimes I have a hard time watching a 2-hour movie. Everything is within my reach, right? I can grab my phone and I can check Insta and I can, you know, do this and I can fold a load of laundry and I can do all this stuff at the same time. I can't even watch a 2-hour movie that's meant to entertain me. I think that part is really hard. And so the more we can clear out our stuff, it helps us take back control of our homes, which helps us take back our lives. And these clear spaces make it easier for us to concentrate and, or not even just concentrate, able to relax. Because you don't have those little things nagging at you saying, oh gosh, I forgot to pay the bills, or I forgot to do that, or I forgot to do this. Let's hopefully not forget to pay the bills. You have systems for that.
Oh my God, that's so true. I kind of feel that this can also become like kind of perpetual thing. If you don't totally declutter small things, they just piled up, then you kind of get stressed even just thinking about that you need to, you know, declutter.
Yes.
So what are some like steps for a person to, you know, should take towards decluttering?
Oh, well, we can even start small. It doesn't even have to be this big thing, because I think when we try to do it as this like, oh my gosh, I've got so much stuff. My house is a mess. I just need to get through all these piles. It can get overwhelming and we stop before we even start. So the first thing is pick one space. Start really small. It could be your entryway. It could be a drawer. It could be your closet. It could be just one shelf on a bookcase. Like, it does not have to be a big thing. And then my favorite thing is to declutter with 3 items. And I actually I modified a concept a little bit from another big declutter person in the space. Her name is Dana White. And she just recommends the black trash bag and the cardboard box. But I take it a step further and tell you to get a laundry basket. Now, I know we're not big on plastic. But we have one of those big, sturdy, you know, laundry baskets in our house. And it's great because when you concentrate on a space, you set your timer for 15 minutes. That's honestly, if you can do 15 minutes, you will be shocked at how much you can get done in a really quick amount of time. So 15 minute timer, you take your black garbage bag and you look first for anything that's garbage. There's going to be trash somewhere. Don't worry about it. Throw it in the garbage bag. It's fine. The black garbage bag is great because nobody can see in it. So then if you're decluttering stuff that is worn out, it's not, you know, it's not really useful. Maybe it's a treasure that your child has that they're really done with it. But if you ask them, they'll say they're not. And I'll have some tips on that later too. But so put it in a bag because nobody can see it, right? That's Dana's tip. And I 100% agree with her, because once it's out of sight, it's out of mind. The next is the cardboard box. And this is for anything that you don't want, but you're ready to get rid of and you're going to donate it. Mm-hmm. The box is great because when you're done, it just goes right in the car. And then the last thing is the laundry basket. Now, her tip is to put things away as you pick them up and you need to put them away. I say put them in the laundry basket if they actually go in a different room, because I think that's an easy container that if you get interrupted or if something happens, you can just set that off to the side and you can come back to it later that day and spend 5 minutes putting things away. It's not this pile that's sitting off in the corner. It's something that you can deal with pretty quickly. And so that's it. So in 15 minutes, you can make a lot of progress. And then when you walk into that space, it's fantastic. So as that timer goes off, you take the trash out, you put the box in your car and you donate it later that day if you can't do it that day, that week. And then you take that laundry basket and put things around your house. That's it.
Oh my God, you got a system. I feel like I need to do this like every single day for 15 minutes.
Totally. You'd be shocked at how quickly your house can get in order. 100%.
That's amazing. So how do you approach decluttering the household when the clutter isn't your mess?
Well, the short answer is gently, because you... The long answer, I'm going to go right into it, is that you have to start with yourself first. I mean, there's no way that you are going to nag your way to somebody else changing if you are not willing to change yourself. Mm-hmm. So I think the best way is to lead by example. And you can almost approach it a little bit like a kindergarten teacher, in that you talk about how wonderful it is, right? So oftentimes we have these things that we just don't even acknowledge. So like, my morning is better because I have a morning routine. Well, if I don't tell anybody that, they're not going to know. They're just going to be like, oh, okay, well, somehow she's got her morning broken, you know? And it's like, no, I worked on it. And so I think that happens within your house too. So like, you say, hey, I'm going to spend the next 15 minutes decluttering. Do you want to join me? Mm-hmm. Invite people along. You can also say like, oh my gosh, I decluttered the entryway this morning. What did you think? You know, invite them along on the journey. Let them know that you're doing it, but you don't have to ask them. You don't have to tell them. Definitely do not tell them to declutter their stuff. It has to be leading by example.
That makes sense. So have you helped someone who was a decluttering process, who thought the mess was someone else's, but instead, but actually then realized it's actually their fault? Their blame.
This happens with parents a lot, shockingly, because parents will always complain that my kids have so much stuff. It's taking over the house. I don't know what to do with it. There's toys everywhere. And I always tell them, I have a little tough love for you, because your children, unless they have a job on their own, are not buying these toys themselves. So,
oh my God,
I'm usually the one. I mean, you're usually the one buying the toys and bringing them into your house. I know that's hard. That's a hard reality to face. And granted, I get it. There are some very generous grandparents and aunts and cousins and siblings and all of that that will also buy things and bring them in. So it's not always 100% the parents, but generally it is. You know, we buy toys for our kids because we feel guilty that we're not home as often, or we buy them because we felt like we were lacking toys when we were younger, or we buy them, you know, just because we just never said no, and now it's become the expectation. And when you say no, there's a big fight, and so you don't want to deal with the fight, so you just say, okay, fine, you know, you just keep buying the toys. So the best thing in that situation is to start setting those boundaries. And you can say, especially with that last one, we're going to go to Target today. And if you are normally in the process of buying a toy every time you're in Target, you say, you have a $5 limit today at Target. Great. You can buy whatever you want for $5. And then the next time, maybe it's, okay, next time we're going to have a $3 limit, or next time you can earn the money if you want, you know, when we go to Target this time. And so you can start setting these little boundaries. I mean, cold turkey is really hard with kids. It does work, but you'll have to just deal with the repercussions of the tantrum, which if you are ready to do it, go for it. It does work. The other one is to start setting limits in your house. And so if toys are all over, the first really great limit is to say, okay, we're going to start keeping toys in your room. And like for me, I could say, okay, well, mommy's going to start keeping all of her work stuff in her office space. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that way you can start with them. And so you work together and you say, let's look at where should this really live in the house? Is this your thing? Okay, it should live in your room. Is this my thing? Okay, maybe it lives in mommy's craft room, or whatever, if I had a craft room, that's my office. So, you know, you can pick these things, and that's, I think, setting those boundaries is the biggest way to start.
Yeah, these are so awesome. And also, if you want to get the entire family involved in this process, you kind of have to lead by example and really invite them in to do it together.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow, these are such great tips.
Yeah. And so one of the things I love doing with the family too is doing little decluttering challenges. So friendly competition works really well. Gamify it if you can. Say, okay, we're going to go, who can go through the house and get 10 items? Like, let's find 10 items each of us want to declutter. And whoever gets back here first with their 10 items, they get a prize. And then you get to pick the prize, whether it's, or you guys all settle on it. You each get to pick your own kind of prize if you win. You get to pick the movie for the night, or you get an extra dessert, or you get more sprinkles or whipped cream or whatever. I try not to have it be a physical gift, because obviously that kind of goes against the idea. But you can also do this for bigger goals. So you can say, hey, we want to take a family trip this year. Let's have a garage sale so that we can use that money to take the trip. And then that kind of gives you a goal and a, you know, something to work toward together in order to get things out of your house.
Wow, amazing. Besides, these are already great tips, but you even have more resources, super useful stuff on your website. And then one of them is the Tiny Home Academy. So tell us about it. What is the Tiny Home Academy?
Yeah, so it's actually Tidy Home Academy.
Oh,
tiny,
sure, we got that right.
That's okay. I'm not a tiny home person. Those people are amazing. I could not live in a tiny home just yet in my life. So Tiny Home Academy, it's an on-demand video course. It is for anybody who really is ready to take the next level and get control of their mess and get this vibrant life. So my whole deal is that the reason I clean my house is so that I don't have to worry about my house. Like, I don't want to have to spend my days cleaning. I don't want to have to spend my days organizing. So if I can get that done and out of the way, it frees me up to doing whatever I want. Like, I get to do more stuff on the weekends instead of cleaning my house. We get to do stuff as a family. I get to pursue creative endeavors and do things like that. I get to do the things that light me up, go on a coffee date by myself or with a friend. And so that's what this is all about. It's for people that need accountability to get to that next level. I'm one of those people. I am an obliger. I need accountability. So if you're like me, come on over. I actually used to be a personal trainer when I first started out in my career. It feels like a lifetime ago. And so I bring that can-do spirit to the course because for me, tidying up is about way more than just your stuff. You know, it is, you know, how to let go of those things that are holding you back, how to switch that mindset, how to create that dream life, how to even get there to know what goals you want to pursue, and then letting go of that stuff, getting rid of that hard clutter, dealing with sentimental clutter, family clutter, that kind of stuff, organizing the stuff you love that you know, you want to keep, setting up cleaning schedules and then other schedules that just make the systems in your home run smoothly so that you don't really have to think about it in the end and you just get to go live your life.
Right. It's also it will also save time in the long run.
Totally. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
So some people like to start this on their own. And then, so tell us about the Happier at Home starter guide.
Sure. I totally get the DIY approach. I am also a DIY girl at heart. So if this is more you and you are new to minimalism or this whole clutter-free living idea, the Happier at Home guide is one of the systems, the free resources I have on my website. I've got lots, like you said. But this one is fun. It focuses on 5 simple things that you can do every day to bring order to your home. There are things that I actually still do every day, even though I've been doing this for a long time, because it sets a really great foundation for your day. So you start off on the right foot, you check your calendar so that you are productive and you don't have anything falling through the cracks. And then you do things like a power tidy every day. So instead of doing 15 minutes, I do 5. And I literally spend 5 minutes. We do it as a family. We run around our house. We put all our stuff away. We put it back to where it belongs. And it's so amazing to wake up in the morning to a clean kitchen, a clean living room. Like, it is amazing what you can do. And so it's just really creating these routines and these systems and gives you a great place to start. So when you're ready to have your home feel happier and easier and things like that, you know, come on over. I want to live in a world where people feel like they can do anything that they put their mind to. And I truly believe that that is possible when our homes are clean, because that allows us to be our truest selves within our home, where we are supposed to be able to kind of retreat from the crazy world outside. So that's the whole point.
Love it. So I love how you mark the word wannabe, because here when we test people, giving people recommendations, we never want to be like too perfect, because we can never be too perfect. We thrive for better, which I think is what you're also trying to get across here too. So why the wannabe?
Oh gosh, I am right there with you on the perfection. I actually don't think perfect is possible. I actually think it's a fallacy. Because even in my own life, whenever I've had a goal that I've reached, right? Well, and I thought that was it, right? I thought that was the end. Well, there's always something else. I always feel like I can better myself. I always feel like even if I put together a guide or I do something for work or, you know, when I get done, I always know that if I went back to look at it, I probably would tweak something. I would find a way to make it a little bit better. And so I don't think perfect is possible. And so I think that's really where that wannabe comes from, like knowing that it's a goal that I have, that I want to be a minimalist. I want to live clutter-free. But it also relieves me of the pressure of trying to be perfect or the pressure of knowing that there's an end goal, because I don't think there is an end goal. So it's more of a practice. It's more of something that, you know I will constantly be changing and striving for something because I'm a work in progress.
So tell us about the podcast, because I had a lot of fun. So what type of topic do you talk about, and where the viewers can find it?
Yeah, sure. So I talk about all sorts of things, mostly for living intentionally. I think that's the thread that really weaves through it. I know it's called the Wannabe Minimalist Show, but it really is more about intention. And so my solo topics include things like decluttering, organizing, cleaning, creating systems, all the stuff I've been talking about today. All of that stuff that just helps you along the way in your home. I have a very how-to style, so I think that comes across in the podcast as well. But then I have guests on like you. You were on a couple weeks ago, and it was so much fun because I absolutely love, love, love learning from people, learning new things, learning about how people live their lives, what can make my life better or other people's lives better. And so those have been really fun. The guest episodes really are a range. So anywhere from you talking about how to get toxins out of our homes, I've got financial planners on the show. I've got other minimalists. I've got, you know, the gamut, tiny home people. So if you're into tiny homes, I've got a few episodes on that. I've got all sorts of things. So it's really, it's been really fun. And I just really, like I said, I enjoy learning from other people. And so, you know, with your episode though, I mean, it was so inspiring because I have my whole list of products now that I want to go, that I'm like replacing. And again, in my style, I didn't rush out to buy them because I don't want to be wasteful of the products that I already have in my home, but I know that I can do better, right? So I have the list. When it's time to replace them, I will be, you know, filling them. We have a zero waste place not too far from us, so I'm going to be checking that out, which I'm really excited about. And yeah, and I think, you know, I have to be conscious of just the products and my budget and all of that. And I think that that's really one of the things that I strive for just overall in general, is helping people know how they can be a little bit better, but knowing that everyone's a little bit different. We all just can just do a little bit and, you know, just improve just a little bit along the way. It makes, you know, it'll make the world a better place.
Absolutely. And hopefully we all have tidy home from this point on. But 15 minutes a day, I'm going to remember that.
15 minutes a day,
and then also start with your family, do it together.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Have fun. Make it fun, okay, if you can. I know cluttering can be so daunting. Like, decluttering is so daunting. So just little bits and try to make it fun.
Awesome. So thank you so much for all these awesome tips.
Yeah.
Thank you, everyone, for joining. And then be sure to follow Deanna at Wannabe Clutter Free. So much great resource. Check out the guides, podcast, and Deanna's website. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me, Jenna.
Talk to you soon. Bye.
Okay, bye.